great chapter in the book of Isaiah, which is the gospel in the Old Testament, and a great passage to use in witnessing to Jewish people. Isaiah 53, every verse is incredible. We'll preach out of the first four verses this morning, actually just out of verses 3 and 4, but we'll read 1 through 4 as a part of our text. So let's stand, please, together, and looking at the 53rd chapter in the book of Isaiah, and we'll read this responsively, meaning I'll read the first verse, and you read verses 2 and 4 with me, please, the even-numbered verses. This is what our Bible says. Great, great passage. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And let's pray for God's help this morning. Lord, we come to your word, and we cannot do it justice within the power and strength of our flesh. In fact, dear Lord, we're told that without your spirit, we can't even understand it. So I pray that you'll open it to us this morning through the person of your Holy Spirit. May he rest on this service. May he encourage hearts. May hearts be helped and blessed is my prayer, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. Bless song singer and the message to follow in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, BC. Bible here to Isaiah 53. I want you to look with me at verse 3. where the prophet wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Then he said in verse number 4, surely he hath carried our sorrows. I want to speak to you for a while this morning on the subject, our sorrow taker. Our sorrow taker. The prophet said Jesus was a man of sorrows. He carried our sorrows. I'm so glad that he did. We'll preach about that this morning. Our sorrow taker. Dear Father, I want to talk about your son for a while this morning. I cannot do him justice. I pray in these few brief moments that we'll be in this auditorium together, that the Holy Ghost of God will have his way, be at complete liberty. Bring that liberty that only he brings. For our minds to be clear of worries about tomorrow, fretting about yesterday, even concerned, Lord, with things and activities that are awaiting us today. May for these next few moments, may he have our hearts, our minds, our wills, and may, Lord, you speak to us, and I'll thank you for it. And dear Father, if there's one person here this morning or more people that are without Christ and unsaved, I pray that you'll speak to that heart particularly today. And I'll give you the praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Someone said, the man that loves and laughs must sure do well. There is nothing more enjoyable than a good laugh. I enjoy laughing. I enjoy being around people who enjoy laughing. And I'm not talking about a chuckle. I'm talking about a good laugh. I'm talking about where your sides shake and where after a while your cheeks ache. And you can feel the laugh, not only, you know, it tickles you, but you feel the effects of it in your cheeks and your side. And you know, get out of breath. I mean, well, you just get really, really tickled. A good laugh, the Bible says, is like medicine. Ben called this week. They're out in the East Coast at a couple of missions conferences with Brother Jeff Owens and another conference. I think he's at Brother Bauer Sox today in Frederick. And he called just to check in Friday and began to talk about some things that McKenna was doing. He got to laughing. He got tickled talking about how, you know, in the crib, now she's getting a little personality, you know. And he was up trying to read, do something. She'd stick her head up above, lay down and go to sleep, you know. And, of course, she'd lay down. Then she'd stick her head up and he'd walk over there and she'd lay back down, you know. And he got to laughing. I'm telling you, he got more than chuckling. He just laughed and laughed. One of those infectious laughs. And just went on and on until I was laughing. And Joyce was laughing. All of us had him on speakerphone. We were all laughing there about that. My friend Jim Stats called from Iowa. He wanted to know information about a bear hunt. He'd like to take his son up to Canada on a bear hunt. And he wanted the name of the place, the number where we'd gone. And we began talking a little bit. And I told him my Cajun joke about Boudreaux and Thibodeau. I think I told it here on a Wednesday night. No, they got to talking about everything. Got talking about their funerals, you know. And old Thibodeau, he said to Boudreaux, he said, Boudreaux, he said, when I'm laying there in that box and they come by and they look down in there, he said, I hope that they say he was a good family man. Well, that would make me pleased and happy if they would say that. He said, Boudreaux, what do you think about? What do you hope for? And Boudreaux said, man, Thibodeau, I hope when they come by and look at that box, look down in there, I hope they say, look, he's moving. And so, you know, that's what you call optimism. And so I told Stats that joke. And I don't know why it hit him so funny. He laughed and he laughed and he laughed and he kept on laughing. And then I got tickled. I've told it probably 6 times. I think I told it to you twice now and told it to other people. And I got to laughing. And, you know, I'm sure at some point this week, if you think back over the last 7 days, I'm sure at some point you enjoyed a good laugh. Hopefully it's something clean, something wholesome, something pure. I feel sorry for you if you have to have something dirty or ugly, tainted filth to make you laugh, which is how so much of our country is today. But I mean laugh at something funny that happens around the house or something that you saw or something that you read. I read Al Gore, and I just laugh and laugh and laugh at what Al Gore says. And how Greenland is melting away, you know.
And right after his Oscar, you know, that he won for saying Greenland is melting away by the year 2100. Greenland will melt and New York City will be covered with the water. And how that Science Magazine came out and talked about how that the ice is actually reaccumulating in Greenland. So you read Al Gore, you just laugh and laugh and laugh. Maybe a different kind of laugh, amen. But anyway, I'm sure you've laughed like we are right now. And boy, what that does for you. I got my mind on that this week. Got my mind, and I had read this passage of Scripture for devotions one day this week. And it dawned on me, you know, there's no mention in the Bible of Jesus ever laughing. Not a one. I'm sure as a boy growing up, I'm sure he did, as boys do and will, you know, laugh and play. And I'm sure he was a normal boy, as normal as a sinless boy is. You know, I don't know how normal that is. But, you know, little boys will laugh and play. But during his adult ministry, after we are introduced to him at age 30, we never read of Jesus laughing. In fact, the words merry, the words glad, the words laughter are never used in connection to Jesus in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. To the contrary, we are told that Jesus was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. Instead of laughter, we read of weeping. Luke chapter 19, and verse number 41, the Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." John 11, 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, we read the two words, "Jesus wept." And I'm sure he was weeping partly because of the unbelief of the Jews, the Jewish people, nation as a whole, in rejecting who he was and what he had come to do, and rejecting his divinity and rejecting his ministry to them and his invitation to them. But I think he was also weeping because Lazarus, his friend, died. He was weeping. Hebrews 5:7 says, "Who in the days of his flesh," talking about Jesus, "when he had offered up prayers and supplications," listen to this, "with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death," weeping. Instead of gladness, we read of sorrow. Matthew 26, verses 37 and 38, the Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." We don't read about Jesus laughing. We don't read about Jesus being merry. We don't read it. Oh, he was at the feast, the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. I'm sure he wasn't a sourpuss and an old nasty attitude. I'm sure of that. But we don't read of him laughing and chuckling and merriment and mirth. We read about his weeping and his sorrow. I believe there's a reason for that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. That Jesus was made to be, listen very carefully, sin for us. That's an incredible verse. The purely, pure, spotless, sinless Son of God, made to be sin for us. Folks, do you realize his ministry and his coming into this world was designed to take upon himself the sentence that sin had placed upon us? He was sinless, completely pure, wholesome, innocent, but he took upon himself the curse of sin, not because he deserved it. To the contrary, he did not deserve it, but he took the curse of sin upon himself for us. And I'm not talking about just on the cross at his death, but in his life as well. In everything he did, Jesus reached out and he took the sentence of sin that was mine and that was yours, and he carried the sentence of sin that we should carry. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, God placed a curse upon the serpent. He placed a curse upon the woman. He placed a curse upon the man. He even placed a curse upon creation. and all of it, sin tainted everything. When Adam sinned against God, sin tainted everything about God's creation. And then God told Adam in chapter 3, verse 17, listen, He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Listen to His words now. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Adam, because of sin, the sentence of sin, the curse of sin upon your life, and all mankind, is that you'll eat of the ground, and one of the sorrow of it, you'll eat of it all the days of thy life. Sorrow was a part of the curse that God placed upon mankind because of sin. When Jesus came to the earth, friend, and it was here in His public ministry, He was not a man of laughter. He was not a man of mirth. He was not a man of merriment. He was not a man of hilarity. He was a man of sorrows. He was our sorrow taker. That's what He was. Now we live in a world filled with sorrow. And even as God's people, we still experience sorrow because of certain events and certain circumstances. But friend, I am convinced with all of my heart that the depth and the length and the frequency of our sorrow has been altered drastically, and in many cases replaced with joy and gladness and singing and, yes, laughter, because Jesus was our sorrow taker. He was a man of sorrows. He wept so we could laugh this morning. He grieved so we could have joy. He sorrowed so that we could have gladness. He took the curse so that we could sing, "It is well with my soul." He took the burden so that we could be free. No wonder the songwriter wrote, "He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore those burdens to Calvary, suffered and died alone." And no wonder he followed that by saying, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." The kind of love that reached out and took our sorrow and carried it so that we wouldn't have to. I'm not suggesting this morning that God's people don't sorrow. I know people who are in this room this morning who are experiencing deep sorrow right now, today. I'm not suggesting this morning that once you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, your sorrows will be over. No, not completely. We still live in a body cursed by sin, don't we? And we still live in a world cursed by sin. And as a result of that, we still sorrow. But I am saying that it is evident from the Word of God that Jesus became our sorrow taker. And because He took our sorrow, because He carried it, because He was a man of sorrows, three things are true this morning for God's people. Three things are true for God's born-again believers. Number one, let me give them to you. Our joy. Is a result of His sorrow. The laughter, the merriment, the joy that we felt a little while ago, that we feel now, it's all a result of His sorrow. In John chapter 16, don't turn to it for sake of time, I've got to keep moving. And in other places in the New Testament, the Bible talks about our joy being full. Our joy being full. That my joy might be full. Is your joy full this morning? Is your tank half full this morning? To whatever degree your joy tank is filled up this morning, friend, that's God's design. That's God's purpose. That's God's will for my life and for your life. His perfect will is that our joy be full and running over, spilling over out of the cup into the saucer. Our joy is full. John 16, Jesus told His disciples that He was going to the cross to die. He also told them that during this experience, listen to what He said. He said, "Fellas, when I go to the cross to die, the world will rejoice." He said, "You will sorrow. While the world is rejoicing at my death, you will experience sorrow. But hold on, fellas, when it is all over," referring to Him walking out of that tomb, "when it is all over," He said, "your sorrow would be turned to joy." Now, do you understand, friend, this morning, that the cross was a time of sorrow for Jesus Christ. A time of sorrow, even more so than what He had endured in His life. Yes, in His life, He had endured sorrow. He told His disciples, the birds of the air have nests, and the foxes of the ground have their holes. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. I have no home. My own people have rejected me. He was a man of sorrows all through His life, but even more so in His death. The physical part of the cross was horrible. Being slapped in the face, having His beard plucked out by their hands, whatever growth there was, if He had a full beard or if He had the stubble of a few days of unshaven face, whatever growth there was, it was jerked out by their hands. They buffeted Him with their fist. They pounded Him as He was covered by a bag and said, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who doth smite thee?" And then they took the cat of nine tails and they scourged His body 39 times. And then the cross and the nail prints, the nails in His hands and the nails in His feet, the thorns upon His brow. The physical suffering of the cross brought sorrow to Jesus Christ. He didn't, through some manifestation of His divinity, reduce the physical pain and suffering. He took the pain and suffering and the sorrow as if you and I were being crucified on that cross. But how about the emotional sorrow? Okay, was anybody ever so hated? The hatred, the vitriolic wrath and anger hurled at Him, seen in those comments, seen in them smiting their breast and, "Look at Him now." Men that He loved, men that He asked God, "Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do." The emotional sorrow that He endured, the physical sorrow, and then the spiritual sorrow of having our sin placed upon Him and becoming the sin sacrifice for me and for you, being separated in fellowship with His Father turning His back on Him and refusing to acknowledge Jesus, because Jesus at that moment became the sin sacrifice, became sin for us, and God turned His back on His own Son to the point where Christ cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" No wonder the songwriter wrote, "Man of Sorrows." What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior, friend. I'm simply saying this morning, that physical sorrow, that emotional sorrow, that spiritual sorrow that Jesus carried on the cross was all so that you and I could have joy, so that we could have joy, so that we could laugh, so that we could sing, so that we could smile, so that we could be happy in life and be merry and have mirth and sometimes times of hilarity. And the joy that we feel this morning and experience bubbling up from within is all because He carried our sorrow. He took it. Think back, my friend. Think back over the last 7 days. Think back over the last 2 months. Think back over the last week or so. The joy that you've experienced, the laughter, the merriment, the mirth, the happiness, the gladness. It is all because He sorrowed. He took our sorrows upon Himself and carried them. He became a man of sorrows so that we could be people of joy. He is our sorrow taker, and our joy is the result of His sorrow. I want to say number two this morning, that our sorrow is reduced because of His sorrow. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Angel? Our sorrow is reduced because of His sorrow." He said there in verse number 4, the prophet did, "Surely He hath borne our griefs," now watch this, "and carried our sorrows." He carried them. He felt them. If I carry this songbook, I feel it. It's in my hands. I feel the makeup of it. I feel the weight of it. If I carry this, I get a good idea of what this songbook is all about. Jesus said that a prophet said that Jesus carried our sorrows. This reminds me of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Don't turn to it. Where the Bible says that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. No, on the contrary, we have a high priest who felt everything we feel and carried our sorrows. He knows, He understands, He felt their weight, He knows their heaviness, He understands the discomfort that sorrow brings into your life and my life. And because He carried our sorrows, we have someone we can go to and ask, Jesus, do you understand? And every time He replies in the affirmative, yes. Yes. Yes, I understand. I carried those sorrows. Lord, my heart is broken. Do you understand? Yes, mine was broken in my lifetime on earth. Lord, my eyes weep with tears. Do you understand? Yes, child, so did mine. Lord, sorrow fills my being like a flood overwhelming my soul. Son, it did mine too. I'm telling you, we have a Savior, a Jesus who says, I understand. I was there. I carried every sorrow you carry. And because I carried your sorrow, let me help you. Let me give you grace. Let me give you mercy. Let me give you strength. Let me give you encouragement. I know the sorrow you carry. I carried it. Amen. Now you say, what does that do for you? Well, that helps. You know, there are some of you in this room, there are many of you in this room this morning. You're carrying a sorrow of some sort. And I'm not saying you never sorrow again after you get saved. I'm not saying you never know any sorrow whatsoever. But I am saying that, friend, we have been given an invitation to come boldly to the one who knows the weight of your sorrow. And some people in this room this morning are carrying sorrow of this consistency. And the Lord knows that. And some of you are carrying sorrow of this weight this morning. And Jesus knows that. And some of you are carrying sorrow of this weight. And some of you are carrying sorrow of this weight. And some of you are carrying sorrow of this weight. And some of you are throw that speaker. You're carrying, and I want to tell you something. You say, what does the Lord know? He knows it all. He knows it every bit. He carried our sorrows. He knows what loneliness can do. He knows what heartache can do. He knows what rejection can do. He knows what being abandoned can do. Jesus knows it all. He carried it. Did you ever meet somebody either at work or sometimes it happens on an airplane. Sometimes it may happen just in the course of you're weak. You meet somebody and you're in a situation where you're stuck with them for a few hours or for a while, and you begin to talk and share, who are you and where you're from, and this is what I do, and this is what my life is like, and boy, all of a sudden you find out that this person has similar experiences to you, and you're surprised and you go, whoa, you mean you've been through that? You mean you and your wife have lost a baby? You mean you and your husband have buried a child? You mean your heart has been broken like that? And boy, you begin to share and you begin to talk and you begin to express emotions and you begin to admit weaknesses and admit shortcomings inside. But through it all, it's therapeutic. It's encouraging. It's like somebody else has been through this. And, you know, boy, as a pastor, you try to put yourself in the place of people who need help. They're members of your church. And sometimes I have to put myself in the shoes of people in theory. I think about what it must be like and give them Bible principles. But there are some things some people in this church have experienced that I have not, that has not been my lot. I haven't experienced it. And I'm going to tell you something. There's only so much comfort that a human can provide who's not been through it. You understand what I'm saying this morning? But those of you that are carrying whatever weight of sorrow this morning, whatever weight, I want you to understand that you have an invitation to get on your knees this afternoon or tonight and be honest with Him. Let the tears stream down your cheeks and let the shoulders heave and weep in front of Him and ask Him, Jesus, do you understand? And you listen. You listen for the still, small voice reverberating from the banisters of glory.
Yes. Yes.
I carried it. I endured it. I felt it. I lifted it. I bore it during my time ministry on this earth. Yes, I know. And friend, that time spent with the Lord will encourage you. It will help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll bless you. I'm not telling you that you can't find help in humans. Yes, you can. But friend, don't underestimate the help that you can find in your high priest. He carried your sorrow. He is your sorrow taker. He's your sorrow taker. Let me say thirdly this morning, not only is our joy a result of His sorrow, not only is our sorrow reduced in burden because of His sorrow, all sorrow will be removed one day because of His sorrow. I love Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be neither sorrow. A sorrow-free eternity awaits all born-again believers. Can you even imagine what it will be like to never, ever again feel the weight, the heaviness of sorrow? Can you imagine that? Sorrow has a weight to it, doesn't it? Sorrow's heavy. You'll be for eternity, friend, in a place where you will never, ever again feel that weight. All gone, forever removed, because Jesus is our sorrow taker. And one of these days, He's going to take us to a place where He has taken sorrow away completely. Gone. When Jesus looks at the steward there in Matthew chapter 25, He didn't say to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys and the sorrows of the Lord." He said, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Eternal. A place sorrow free. Our sorrow is the result. Our joy is the result of His sorrow. Our sorrow is reduced because of His sorrow. All sorrow will be removed because of His sorrow. And let me say this morning. Sorrow's grip is released at salvation. You're in chapter 53. Look back at Isaiah chapter 51. And look at verse number 11. I'll finish with this verse this morning. Sorrow's grip is released at salvation. Here's what the prophet wrote. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Israel spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And yet God gave them a promise that one day they would return to Zion. You would return to Jerusalem, and when you return, joy and gladness will be your portion. Sorrow and mourning will take wings and flee away. I spent 18 years in captivity to sin and Satan. 18 years. Oh yeah, I knew a little ha ha, he he. Yeah, that's funny. But the night I got saved, the night I got redeemed, Jesus bought me, purchased me. And at that point, the grip that sorrow had on my life began to be released. And for the last 31 and a half years, the laughter, the joy, the merriment has been real. Real. Because He's my sorrow taker. You know, Brother Tom went out to Las Vegas. Now, he didn't go out to play the gambling tables, okay? He's out there on business. I'm not sure what kind of business, but he was out there on some kind of business. He said that the thing that amazed him was how many sad-faced people he saw sitting at those machines. So isn't Las Vegas portrayed as the place of neon lights, happening. It's all a lie. There's not but one place that really puts a smile on your face. A deep smile, a happy smile. That is a picture of the joy that's on the inside. That place is in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved this morning, you may laugh a little bit and have a little fun. You may consider yourself a fun person. But if you're not saved this morning, you don't know what it's like to have the sorrow taker come and release the grip of sorrow upon your life. There's something in here this morning that he put in there back on October 15th, 1975. And it just gets better. Better and bigger and happier because, friend, He is our sorrow taker. Our joy is the result of His sorrow. Our sorrow is reduced because of His sorrow. All sorrow will be removed one day because of His sorrow, and sorrow's grip is released at His salvation. I'm glad that Jesus was a man. He's not now. He was then. One of these days we'll enter into His joy, sorrow free. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I want the message to be a help and a blessing. Before we dismiss the service and have the invitation to dismiss the service, I do want to ask a couple of questions this morning. Who would say, Pastor, I'm the one carrying the one songbook this morning. I'm the one carrying the three songbooks this morning. No, I'm not just carrying three songbooks, Pastor. I'm carrying the weight of all the songbooks. I'm carrying a load. I want to say that God spoke to my heart about Jesus being our sorrow taker. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? Would you do that? Many, many hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Our sorrow taker. Our sorrow taker. Friend, your sorrow, I'm not saying it'll be eliminated. I'm not saying it'll go away completely this side of heaven. But I'm saying that you can find a grace and a strength and a help in Jesus that you'll find in nobody else. Because He's the sorrow taker. Who's here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven, no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved. I know what it means to have the release, to have sorrow's grip released upon your soul. Jesus saved me some years ago, some weeks ago, but I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand this morning in honesty about that? Be honest before God. I ask you to be honest before God. Is there somebody here this morning? Thank you. Take your hands down. Preacher Angel, I could not raise my hand. I do not know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't have that assurance. I don't have that sweet peace in my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, while we wait? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed from side to side, front to back. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I've ever been born into God's family, that I'm going to that place that's sorrow-free for all eternity. Anybody like that today so I can pray for you? Anybody here would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. I've not been obedient to that command of Christ. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that in the service? I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody see a small child? God bless you, son, daughter. Talk to you, to your parents about that. If you've been saved and not baptized, you're missing out on the first obedience, the first command of obedience, first opportunity to obey the Lord. Anybody like that this morning, you come and talk to Brother Caleb or one of the people at the front. We have folks that can show you about that or show you about salvation. But friend, this morning, if you're carrying a weight of sorrow, be it the weight of one songbook or be it the weight of every songbook in this auditorium, magnified by 100, Jesus is your sorrow taker. He's your sorrow taker. And in Him you can find a reduction of that weight. Believe me, you can. Dear Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for our high priest. I thank You that He is touched with our infirmities. And now, oh God, I pray for each one that lifted a hand this morning in this room. I pray that You'll please speak to that heart. And Lord, to those that maybe did not respond, encourage those whose hearts are experiencing some form of sorrow this morning. God, I pray that in the prayer closet, they will find that sorrow reduced because Jesus carried the sorrow for them. Encourage their hearts this morning. Speak to anybody unsaved. Speak to somebody, Lord, who's not been baptized to be obedient. Lord, thank You for heaven. Thank You that we'll go someday to that place where sorrow will be taken away forever. What a day that will be. Thank You, dear God. Thank You for sending the sorrow taker. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, while nobody's looking. Ladies, would you play a song of invitation? This is the time for you to respond to the Lord as God speaks to your heart. Many hands were raised. Our sorrow taker, you need to come and kneel this morning and ask the Lord to help you with that. Would you come? The sorrow of physical pain, the sorrow of emotional pain, the sorrow of spiritual pain. What is it? What depth of pain are you carrying this morning? What depth of sorrow? He is the sorrow taker. As we wait, come to join these at the front. Would you come? If you're not saved, would you come? If you've not been baptized, would you come? Let the Lord speak to your heart. You have been saved, baptized, you want to join the church, you've spoken to somebody about it, you come. Join this morning. Would you come? While we wait.